Recording.
Recording in progress.
Okay. So, hi guys. Welcome to New Dimension Comics Presents the Toddcast. Tim's back, yeah, everybody.
I'm back.
Tim's back.
Did you miss me? No questions. No one missed me.
So I named this episode Among the Living for two reasons. One, one of the books I'm going to talk about today is called Among the Living. And the other one is that Tim's out of surgery and sort of not hopped up on painkillers. So he's kind of among the living again.
Sort of not hopped up.
I want to give another big thank. Right. I want to give another big thanks to Bo for hanging out last week and coming back and filling in.
I didn't even get to watch it.
As always. Oh, it was a good time, man. It's a good time. As always.
Yeah, I have to go back and watch it. I didn't get a chance to. So.
Well, we got lots of stuff coming up. All right. In no particular order, June 25th-ish, 26th maybe, is the 26th. Customer appreciation sale.
Yeah, I think it's nuts. 26th.
Okay. So 26th, most of the stores 25% off. All the dollar books are 35 cents because we're celebrating 35 years. I know, right? No box price. Just so you know, they will be counted. there will be some exclusions per store, so make sure you guys check in and figure that out. And it is in store only. The online store is not going to be on sale. That same weekend, that Saturday, Sunday, is our secret warehouse sale in Elwood. So we have like 100,000 comics.
Secret.
It's sort of secret. I don't know why we call it the secret warehouse sale anymore, because everybody, it was like the fifth year we've done it. Like, I think people know we have a warehouse by now. There's a shitload of books. There's like 100,000 books, all for a buck each. It is the 26th and 27th. Golden tickets on Friday this year on the 25th. So if you didn't get one, you can stop at your local store and ask for one. Most of the people who watch this or follow us or have been to one know that there is one. All subscribers should have one in their box anyway, as a courtesy and a thank you from us. So go up Friday, hit that up hardcore, come back Saturday into the stores, get the customer appreciation sale, and then go back up on Sunday for some more warehouse goodness. On the 4th of July, we're going to have a cookout and a geek flea market at Cranberry, which also includes a taco truck. So you can get your space for that by going to Cranberry's Facebook page. There's an event in there, and you can just pull up the application. It's $10 to set up it all. And then if we provide a table, it's $10 per table that we have to provide. So if you bring your own tables, it's only $10 per space you want to set up. So say you wanted to set up and you wanted to have two tables, it's just $10. If you wanted two tables and we have to provide them, then it's $30. See how that works? Okay.
What if I had $10 and my own tables?
That's it. You just give us $10 and you set up your own tables and tents.
I just wanted to, I was just trying to reiterate it.
It's all good. And that's from noon to six. Setup will be at 11 o'clock in the parking lot. Nothing else, I think, except for the vape shop is open on Sunday there, and maybe the laundromat. So literally we're the only thing that's open. So you can kind of hang out and park. It'll be a good time. And then don't forget, every Saturday we have the Comic Clearance Cave in Elwood at the VFW. 25-cent comics a lot, all the time in Elwood. And it's got a lot of cool new stuff in there, too. We've just put, like 200 or 300 new boxes in it right before the Million Comics sale. So that was pretty much what that was.
Cool.
So I actually have a sad note. Well, that I want to talk about before we get into everything else. And then I have another different kind of saddish note. So our friends at, if you guys have ever been to VW PopCon or shopped at Comics Paradise Plus out of West Virginia, John and Julie Hayes own that store. Julie passed away in her sleep last week on Thursday. It was really sad. She is one of the, or was one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. She was like a force of nature of awesome. She would light up a room every time she walked in. Like she was infectiously fun and always upbeat, and was really a lot of fun to hang out with. And I'm going to miss her a lot. When the pandemic started, she also loved to sew. When the pandemic started, she actually reached out to me and was like, do your staff need masks? And I was like, probably. So I said, yeah, I could use some masks. And she literally met me in Washington, PA and gave me like 35 and I just handed them out to the stores. So, you know, she did that just out of the goodness of her heart. That's the kind of person she was, and she will be very well missed. And there will be a celebration of her life in the store down there sometime soon. I don't think they've announced that yet. But, you know, our hearts go out to John and the other guys at Comics Paradise Plus. So, all right. Now let's talk about comics and be a little less downbeat.
That's what you think until I review this Supergirl book.
Dude, I'm going to start with Static Shock and tell you that this book was not that great.
Yeah, I flipped through it. It didn't look that great.
So the art, I thought, was really good. A lot of it is crisscross, which I love his art. I loved him when he worked on Captain Marvel.
Does that make you want to jump?
It does. But I thought a lot of this, it just felt really heavy. For like a teenage superhero, it felt too heavy for me. It just felt like he was too, I don't even know. Like, it was just really, really, really rough. Cause like he accidentally kills somebody, I guess, in one of the one shots. And then he comes back to deal with all this stuff. And it's just very interesting how it plays out. But he kind of takes on his own supervillain, who is like a pyromancer, basically, or pyrokinetic. And the end of the issue, like, that dude finds him at his house and burns his house down. Like, it's crazy. So there was some good stuff, but it wasn't like the Static Shock that I always loved was like more the cartoon one, because it felt a little bit more like the original Icon stuff, and it was a lot more upbeat. It was a little more teenager dealing with teenager shit, yeah. Not teenager dealing with, you know, accidentally killing one of his classmates who happen to be a bad guy type thing like that.
Yeah.
It just weirded me out a little bit, and I don't know if I can do that, but so that's what I got. You said you want to do Supergirl next?
Yeah, let's get that crap out of the way.
See, I'm really sad to hear this, because I'm really looking forward to this book.
Was not good.
I'm not
at all
a Tom King fan, so.
Yeah, so I didn't know it was Tom King. So I read the whole thing. I'm like, God, this book sucks. Why does this book suck so bad? And then I went back and looked, and I'm like, Tom King! Ah! And I wanted to flip my table, because if I knew it was Tom King, I probably wouldn't even picked it up, because I'm not a Tom King fan. but this is Supergirl, and it's her birthday. She's 21 years old, and she's on this other planet. And this girl that you see in the bottom left here is trying to avenge her father, who was murdered in cold blood, and the guy left the sword in her, which she thought was very disrespectful. And this girl is on this quest to find somebody to help avenge her father's death. And it is a Tom King book, because it is just talking and talking and talking and I felt like I was reading the most boring episode of Game of Thrones ever if one of the characters was dressed like Supergirl. That's wow. It. Like, she's not even using powers or anything. So that is all the time I will give that book. It was.
Wow.
Yeah. Not a fan of it. And I'm kind of like a little indifferent on this thing that DC's doing where they're like, hey, we're not going to put out like an ongoing Supergirl, but we'll do like an 8-part mini. And then we're going to do like maybe another 5-part mini. And I'm just a little indifferent on it because some of them have been good, like Batman the Detective. But some of them have been bad, like this one, at least this first issue. But knowing Tom King, it'll probably take 6 of the 8 issues for it to really get where it's supposed to be going.
I like his mini series because he tends to do better when they're confined.
Yeah.
So, and this is what, an 8-part mini?
8-part, yeah.
Yeah. So this to me feels like it'll probably roll a lot like Vision did. Because that was an 8-part mini. And I think he'll get to it faster than you think, because normally like the first issue is kind of like, what the hell? And then by issue 3, it's usually fairly well into things.
Yeah, this was what the hell, but like in a bad way. It's like, what the hell did I just spend $8 or $5 on? So I don't know. We'll see. I'll let you read the second issue after you read the first one. You can tell me if it got any better.
All right. My second book is Seven Swords from Aftershock. I really didn't know what this book was going to be because Tim told me what books he was reading. And then I was like, well, that's at least one of the books I was going to read. So this kind of filled in part of that. And it ended up being kind of cool. So it's sort of a sequel to The Three Musketeers. So it's like D'Artagnan meets up with his old captain, and he gives him a list of 7 swordsmen that they need to go and basically be the world's musketeers instead of just France's musketeers. That's like the lady on the cover is a nun. She's Sister Maria. And they go through it. Like, there's some pretty cool parts. We talk about some of the people who are going to be in it, including Don Juan, which was cool. And the only ones. Yeah.
I thought the artwork looked awesome when I was looking through it.
The art is very solid. I mean, if you're into like musketeer stuff, like that period type of book. It's very good, and it's very, very, the art's really good, in my opinion. I thought it was a good one. I'm just not super into, like, the Musketeer lore, but I did think it was pretty good. So
that's a different pace for Aftershock, too, of the kind of books they've been doing. So that's nice to see them kind of change lanes and try something different because they've been really good. So
I think that's cool. So all right, so you're going with Venom, right?
Yeah, let's do that's why I got the hat on for Venom 200.
You want me to go to that first?
I mean, you can. That's the only screenshot I took because there's so much stuff that's in this book, but there is a new Venom that we get out of this. And there is a little bit of a setup. You see this Venom with the chains. There is a little bit of a setup for the next series that Al Ewing is going to be writing. Can I just say that, like,
the weird symbiote goo rain stuff behind him kind of looks like he's going to sit on a dildo?
You can.
I'm just saying.
Okay, it looks like he's kind of maybe dropping some symbiote turds.
Or it's a symbiote deuce. Yeah. That's one of the other options.
I won't. Carl didn't read it. Don't worry, Carl. I'm not going to give away a lot. But, you know, basically, this is what we knew after number 34 and King in Black is Eddie Brock is a god now. He is the hive mind. He controls every symbiote that ever exists if, and this is the cool part, they allow him. So he's saying, you know what, you've been enslaved, you've been Null's puppets for, you know, long enough. I would like to work and to correct some of the things that Null has done throughout the universe and the damage he has done. but I need you guys to do it if you'll allow me. So even though he has the power and he can, he's giving them the option and saying, you know, do you want to opt in and be part of Team Venom and fix the universe? And I think that's probably where Al Ewing's book is going to come in, because that's my guess, because he's very good at writing space stuff. Mm. So I could see him coming in there. There was a couple weird things. Eddie Brock's a little bit older, so that's not really because of the toll that operating all of these symbiotes is taking on him. And then we get to see some cool stuff with Dylan. There's some really cool art in this. It was a little bit of a letdown from what I was expecting from Donny Cates' final Venom story, but really it ended with, you know, King in Black 5 was really the wrap up. This was kind of more of a bonus because it hit issue 200 as well. So, but overall it was pretty good. It's like a B issue, but yeah, I mean, get ready, because I think there's going to be more crazy stuff coming with Al Ewing writing this book. So
you think that Donny Cates finally stuck the landing? Is what you're saying?
I think so. Yeah, I think he did.
Because there's been a couple times where I'm like, you almost had it there, bro.
Yeah, if he sticks the landing on this one, it's just very slightly nails it, just very slightly. But I don't know. I could see him doing a better job of nailing the landing on Thor, his Thor run, than anything. I just have that feeling reading his Thor run. So, like, he just, like, right. Hey, Venom was nothing, you know? Venom was cool to, like, a certain group of people, and he made it popular to a lot more people. Thor is kind of like, Jason Aaron did that awesome run, and now it's like, I'm going to see if I can outdo Jason Aaron. So I feel like he's got even more of a purpose in his Thor arc. So,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So, hold on, I gotta get the right page.
And then while you're doing that, I'll show this, because there's a crap ton of covers. This is the one of the ones that I picked up. This is the Mark Bagley one, because awesome. Nobody draws Venom and Spider-Man stuff like Mark Bagley. So that was the one that I picked up. It's a $10 book. It's got some really cool stuff in the back, like, you know, all 200 of the covers shown in the back. So. There's a lot of cool covers for this. At $10, I had to limit myself because I wanted to buy all of them. So
that is a very, very heavy book. So
yeah.
All right. My last book is the graphic novel Among the Living from Anthrax. This actually ended up being way cooler than I thought it would be, because they basically did there was like a bunch of different teams that did different songs and they did different pieces, and it's pretty much the track listing for the record, but it's done by like some super fucking star writers and creators. And I'm just going to read off a couple of them. So like Jimmy Palmiotti's on here, Brian Posehn, Gerard Way and Mikey Way, Scott oh, nice. Ian, Chris Weston, Rick Remender, Joe Troman, Roland Bosky, Corey Taylor and Man House, Grant Morrison with Freddie Williams II, Frank Bello, who's the bass player for the band, with Annoy Bellinger, Brian Azzarello with Dave Johnson, Rob Zombie with Eric Rodriguez, Eric Powell did a couple covers. Charlie Benite, the drummer for the band, did a couple covers. And each one was kind of interesting. Like, it was actually kind of cool to see like a story arc for I'm the Man, because it's based originally, or I'm the Law. Like, I'm the Law is based on a Judge Dredd story anyway. So it was just kind of cool to see it. The Cotton to Mosh one was really neat. But like, this is like legit, like Judge Dredd, right?
Oh wow!
Like as the I Am the Law, and the whole book is pretty much Stephen King's The Stand in a like just a crazy version like this, and you can get this through Diamond, but only the paperback version. You have to order the hardback through Z2 Comics, which is what I did, because I freaking think this is awesome as hell.
I'm only familiar with the anthrax that's put in envelopes and mailed to people as like part the of virus. Terror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to their website, which is anthrax.com, it says at the very top, for information on the virus, click here instead.
Oh, really?
And at one point when the anthrax scare in the envelopes happened, they came out and did a concert with different jump work suits on. And when they stood together, it says, "We're not changing our name." So I'm going to try to find that here. Give me a second. It was actually pretty cool. See if I find that picture.
I'm telling Ron, after my X-Men book review, we're getting into Loki and he hasn't watched it yet. And I told him he needs to come back and watch the rest of the video later because we're going to get into it.
Oh yeah.
On Loki.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do that. All right. Let's see if that worked. Give me 1 second, guys. Yeah, the chat's doing pretty well tonight, I see.
Yeah, this is just why you're doing that. This is so awesome. He slings chains now.
Venom does?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And
oh, yeah, here we go.
Yeah, ready? It's pretty...
Yeah, that was back like what 2000-ish when that was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, right, that would have been
9/11, right? Because then that's when.
Oh this... yeah,
yeah. That's when they.
That would have been like started... yeah, 2012. Yeah,
yeah.
Because that was the record that was called "We're Coming for You All," was the name of that record that they toured for. So, and that was the first one that Alex Ross did the art for.
Yeah.
So, which was also just super badass in general. All right.
Yeah.
So you have another book to talk about.
Boom. This is the pinnacle of the Hellfire Gala. And this is insane what happens in this book. I have that cover. I've got, I'll show you a couple other covers I have because
well, no, there's wait, a lot of cool. Let me take it up.
Okay. There's a go. Lot of go other cool it. Covers. There's like the gala cover that's a connecting Russell Dowderman variant. And then another Pepe Larrez cover. But this is why they called everybody. This is why they called everybody to this gala. They said, "Hey, we've got some news for everybody. We wanted to show you a good time. We wanted to strike some deals and help your countries out. Oh, and by the way, we made a freaking planet." They fixed Mars. Mars is what? Now the new home. Yes, they fixed Mars. They went to Mars. They brought resources to Mars. They used different mutants to heat the core, to provide atmosphere, to provide water and just different like life to the planet, and it is now called Planet Arako, which is the other half of Krakoa. And I didn't like when Hickman said, "Oh yeah, this is going to be like, you know, on the level of like giant size X-Men." I'm like, "Yeah, well, you know, that's pretty big. I mean, you know, that was a big story that's introducing a lot of characters." And no, he was not lying. They literally brought Mars back to life to make it the home planet for mutants.
And so instead of having Asteroid M, we now have Planet M.
Yeah, basically. And that just blows my mind. I it's such a cool idea. And it's one of those things. It's like, even when Hickman leaves X-Men, I feel like that this is just going to leave a footprint on the X-Men universe forever. I mean, I don't even know like where to start. There's different mutants that have different abilities. Each one of them came in and provided some kind of thing to help get Mars and bring Mars back to life. Here's a little picture of this guy who's like a bug, and he's, you know, providing. I'll show you here.
Hold on, wait. I gotta
look at
there. Okay.
So, and he's just providing minerals and, you know, microscopic things to the soil to help create life. Magneto has brought all the iron and different things like that, different minerals. This guy is a fish, and he brought all these different microorganisms so that there's life. It's insane. The whole issue is them explaining how they made a planet, a habitable planet out of Mars. And if you're not reading X-Men, if House of X, Powers of X didn't get you on, you need to go grab that hardcover. You need to read it and then go through the whole Dawn of X, because this is going to take you, I think, into the Reign of X. And there's still one more part that's supposed to be, because he does this thing at the end where this is like the reading order. And if it's in red, that's like, get ready. This is a big issue. Something big happens in this issue. And there's still one more that's in Sword number 6. There is a picture that I sent you of King Jamie Braddock, and he is helping out. And they're like, hey, we need you to help us out. He literally wills into existence because he can alter reality. This is a new Sword space station. It's Sword 2. And this is their defense system that will hang out and hover over planet Arako. He gives birth to it. Like, they're like, hey, we need you to, we have a really good idea. We want you to birth. And then they're like, whoa, he took this way too literally. He's sitting there, and a whole space station comes out of his gut.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. The whole thing is nuts. Pepe Larraz's art is amazing. This is Jerry Dugan writing it, obviously with direction from Hickman. This is their landing station at Port Prometheus. This is where anybody that's coming to the planet will, you know, come in through here. But this whole thing was nuts, and I strongly recommend that people jump on these X-Men books, because they are fantastic and they are building a world. And if you're not a fan of Hickman, that's okay, because he's not writing that many of the books. I think he was writing just X-Men, and now I think he's handing it off to somebody and he's just overseeing everything. I don't even think he's writing a book anymore. So if you're not a fan of his writing, some of the style continues throughout all the books since he's overseeing it. But it's fantastic. People should be reading this. I know our subs are through the roof on X-Men books. So for longer than I've ever seen since I've been there. So,
but very cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I may actually have to read that now.
Yeah,
because I am not a Hickman fan, as we've discussed
before. I know you. Yeah, so, I know. I would definitely read the Planet Size X-Men one, because the artwork is great, and two, just because I think it will blow your mind, the detail of them talking about all the things that they did. And this was Magneto's idea, which I think is even cooler.
I mean, Asteroid M was as well. So.
It was, but like Asteroid M was more like, him wanting to rule the world and kill humans and stuff. And this is kind of like more of that idea, but in reverse, because he's trying to do stuff that's good for mutants.
Right.
He's not with the intent of harming humans at all in this. So
Right. No, yeah. Very cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of excited to check that out. So, all right. So some other nerd news, that's kind of sad, but also kind of cool. The sad part is that yesterday Neil Adams went into the hospital for sepsis. The cool part is that he lived through it and is back home already. That is insane. That's what killed Jim Henson. It's nuts. You know, we wish him a speedy recovery. Neil's a really nice guy. I've had the pleasure of talking with him a couple times. You know, he's a fucking legend, and a lot of people don't come back from that, from sepsis. That is rough. That's literally when your blood kind of turns against you and becomes poison. So good on him, man. Like, crazy. So, but you know, good thoughts to you, Neil. You know, you're like 80 years old today. So happy birthday as well.
Oh, is it his birthday today too?
Yeah. I think yesterday might've been his birthday.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But he's 80 years old. He almost died on his birthday. Like, that's crazy.
And still drawing.
Still drawing. Still killing it. He opened a comic store in like LA, I think. So
I hope all the artists that have switched from being interior artists to just cover artists take note, because he still draws and still does interiors and stuff. And so not as many, but you know, when you're 80 and you're still doing some interiors. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's nuts. No, he's still doing very well. Like he does a lot of cover work. He does a lot of commission work. You know, he's still a badass, and a lot of artists just owe a lot of like their pay scale literally to him, because he worked a lot for Artist Rights, and the Heroes Initiative and stuff like that. So you know, Neil's a great dude. Go if you've never met him, now you really want to go see him when you can, when he's healthy and out and about.
Don't mind my fidgeting. I'm trying to elevate my foot.
It's fine. All right, Ron, we're going to talk about Loki now. So we'll give you a minute to get off. And
thanks, Ron.
Talk to you later. Everybody else who wants to talk about Loki, with your reviews and opinions, you can toss them in the chat and we'll talk about them as we go along. Yep. So I will preface this with Wednesday morning, I woke up at 4 a.m. and could not get back to sleep. So I just decided to watch it and then went back to sleep. So I might be a little foggy on it, but it was very, very good. As far as I remember, I really still feel that this has a awesome, like, phase one vibe to it, which I'm loving, because it's like not the stupid jokey crap. But spoiler, I totally called it, Lady Loki.
Lady Loki.
Totally called it. And I really thought that was a really good way to twist that up.
I don't think that's the only Loki either. I think we're going to, you know, Kid Loki is going to end up. The reason I say Kid Loki is because I know that he was a part of the second wave of Young Avengers, which they are building too. So I think it would be cool to have Kid Loki involved in that in some way. And we already know we're getting America Chavez in the Doctor Strange. So they may take the lineups from both of those Young Avengers and just merge them into one powerhouse. But did you guys talk about this at all last week?
We did talk a little bit about the first episode. Mostly because like it was the premiere episode.
I'll tell you what my favorite part was.
Sure.
Owen Wilson.
That was Bo's favorite part, I think, too.
So. I'm like, I didn't know that I needed Owen Wilson in the Marvel Universe until I saw Owen Wilson in the Marvel. And when he's like, talkie. And I'm like, he plays the character that he plays in everything else. But it's cool to see him and the way he does it in this. And Agent Mobius is a lot of fun to watch in the first two episodes. So
can I just say how awesome it is to keep seeing cans of Josta every episode?
Yeah.
Like, I love it. I'm just like, oh my God, throwback to like 1992. Like
there was a lot of people that were upset. They're like, oh, they have Infinity Stones and the Avengers were trying to get them. They could have helped them out. And I'm like, what part of that it was destined to be and what happened was supposed to happen? Don't you understand? They're not there to interfere unless right. you veer from your path. And then there was people that were saying that one of the three Time Lords was Kang the Conqueror. And I'm like, no, it is not Kang the Conqueror. Kang the Conqueror is not a Time Lord. He's too arrogant to work with somebody else and say, hey, I'm going to conquer all of time. Would you like to help me? So the Time Lords are their own thing. They are like yep. space lizard people. And I think
they're Kang actually a Fantastic Four villain.
Yeah. And I think yeah. Kang has fought them once before.
Yeah.
As well. So to anybody that was thinking that Kang is one of them, he is not. They just look weird like he does. So
well, Kang's is a helmet. It's not even yeah, like just, his real face.
Headdress.
Like yeah. he's like a normal dude under that. Yeah. Like, cause he's yeah. Tony Stark's descendant. Like,
yep.
you know, cause he was Iron Lad.
And they just started filming that yesterday too. Quantumania. Yeah. So I'm hoping that in the next, you know, month or so, we'll start to see some leaks on what Kang is going to look like.
Oh, that would be cool.
I thought that this episode where it picked up was with the Renaissance Festival was pretty cool. And Loki coming to, you know, having this epiphany about the apocalypse events.
Yeah.
And him hiding in them. I thought that that was a really cool, because you see him kind of like, he's like, oh, he's real sad. He sees Ragnarok on paper, you know, is gone. And then he goes over to Owen Wilson and he's like, oh, yeah, I know Ragnarok's end of Asgard. He's like, yeah, whatever. You know, like it didn't affect him, even though you saw when he was reading it that it affected him.
Right.
And when they go to Pompeii,
yeah.
It was just fantastic. Let's go, goats. Come on. You're all free. We're from the future. And that one guy's like, he's like holding his basket. And he's just like, oh, not another one, you know? Just,
right.
So I thought that that was cool. Him figuring that out. And I thought that that really set the episode on a good direction that, you know, the first one was decent, but this second one was way better. So,
right. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I again think it's much more phase one vibe to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more serious in tone. I also thought that that Winter Soldier and Falcon was also a lot more serious in tone. Like that felt real phase two to me. And then WandaVision I thought felt very phase three.
Because
it had a lot of, it was loaded with jokes, but it was supposed to be the sitcom stuff.
Yeah.
But this really, really feels like phase one. Like this feels to me a lot like it would be right in between like Thor and Captain America. Like,
I feel like that's gotta be intentional too, because you're dealing with phase one Loki, you know, He didn't live these experiences. He didn't live the destruction of Asgard. He's reading it on paper. All of these things that, you know, he watched himself die. He didn't even know that happened.
Yeah.
So I think that had to have been intentional for them to say, what was the tone of phase one like? Because this is that Loki and we need to replicate that for this. It'll be interesting to see if he hangs around, if his Loki is going to be around, or if this is the end of Tom Hiddleston's Loki as they evolve it into either a female Loki or a kid Loki, and then that version stays around. So I'm interested to see that part of it, because from everything that I got watching this, it, you know, he's helping them, but he doesn't have a place anymore. I don't, it feels like after this is over, he doesn't have a place in time anymore. So unless they get him back to, you know, his original timeline, reset that, and then he doesn't even know about all the help, you know, that he did with the TVA. So I can see that being an outcome. But I also love that it happens on Wednesdays, because now we can talk about it on Thursdays fresh.
Yep.
Because I would have to rewatch, like, WandaVision again when we were doing it in Falcon because they were coming on Fridays. And it's smart on Marvel's part. Comics are on Wednesday. Make your shows on Wednesday.
Then everybody talks about it when they're in the store. It's great.
Yep. Marvel Wednesdays.
Get it out of the way. Marvel Wednesdays. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's what they want. They want to dominate it. They want it to be everything that you talk about on New Comic Book Day. They want it to be Marvel. So smart.
No, I think it's good. I think it's good. Other than that, I don't really have any other super cool, fun news.
Well, I want to say this too, because I thought this was weird. In the first episode, that guy who's like, hey, Infinity Stone, some of the guys use them as paperweights. And he's like, I'm going to fillet you like a fish. And he's like, what's a fish?
Right.
And he's like, you don't know what a fish is? But then Agent Mobius has a salad. So I thought that was a little weird. It's like, this guy doesn't know what a fish is, but this guy has a salad. So like, it was kind of weird, like the consistent, but you know.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily have salmon in a salad, you know? Like.
Yeah.
Like.
I'm not saying you'd have salmon in a salad. I'm just saying, like, how would you not know this food, but then you know this other food?
You don't know if it's Earth lettuce.
It's true. It could be TVA lettuce. So,
true. Could be lettuce from like the 1700s, or like, or at the end of time, because you don't know really where the TVA actually are, or when they actually are.
Yeah.
So,
that's my favorite thing to say. It's like when people are like, "Where are we?" and it's like, "When are we?" it's like the Bill and Ted moment.
Yeah.
Anything time travel, it's always like, "When are we?" You know. So
not where are we. When are we?
Yeah.
When? Yeah, it's a very Keanu Reeves. When are we, man?
Yep.
So, but yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Like, it's been a pretty boring week for me. I was on vacation, so for part of it. So I went up to St. Mary's and bought a case of Straub, and rode my bike and hung out with my dad, and that was pretty much it. And randomly, there is now a random Mexican restaurant in there that really reminded me of the place in Century 3. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, what was that place?
What was it? I can't remember what it's called. It's now on 51 though. Crap.
I'm gonna call it Crap Mex because I only ate there once and it made me sick. So, but it wasn't the Century 3 Malvert one, it was a different location. So,
Old Mexico is what it was, and it really did. It felt like Old Mexico. At least it did to me.
I want to open up in Old Mexico, but I want to open one up in New Mexico just to really fuck with people. It's like, you want to go eat? Yeah, where do you want to go eat? Old Mexico. Oh, where's that at? To New Mexico. Wait, it's Old Mexico.
New Mexico.
And then just
Old New Mexico.
Yeah.
You could just call it New Mexico.
Stoners would just be like, whoa.
Just call it New or Old Mexico, or just call it New Mexico. You're fine.
See, I already got you.
Just call it New Mexico. Tangled. Good.
All right.
So, speaking of stoners, so my uncle, who I was staying with, total stoner, and I was crashing on the couch at my aunt and uncle's house while I was at home because my dad's in a nursing home, so I don't really have a place to stay, and I didn't really want to pay for a hotel room. And he's like blazing up across the room for me, and I'm just like, I'm going to get some good sleep tonight. It did. It was really, really good.
That's funny.
And then he was like watching, he was watching KDKA because they have Dish, because that's the only way to get Pittsburgh channels on there. And like the KDKA fan thing came on and Daisy was on, and I'm like, I know her. She shot a commercial in my store. He's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, she's really cool.
She did like she was the KDKA CW one.
Yeah,
right?
She's the green team girl. Yeah.
Yeah. She did it when it was the one at the mall.
She did it. Her and the blonde girl that used to do it with her did the first one. And then she did the updated one. at the Waterfront, and then two at Waterfront, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
So and she's I remember been to the Waterfront. She's been to Three Rivers every year except for this last one because they weren't allowed to do remotes. So, by the way, Three Rivers Light Part Deux, the intense version, October 16th, 17th. Set your calendar. It's gonna be a lot.
I like
of fun
that you
that.
Said Part Deux. It's part my favorite. It's my favorite Hot Shots. Know, Hot Shots right? Part Deux. Part All deux. I can think about is like the sex scene when the he's doing like the bar and flipping around. It's like that's all I need to go watch that now. I've got the time.
Great movie. Great movie. Yeah. Oh geez. Does anybody have anything they want us to talk about? Carl, what do you want us to talk about? I'm pretty sure it's just us.
I had an idea too, and I'll throw this out there and you guys can leave comments and vote on it. But I thought about because sometimes if there's light weeks with books. So I thought it would be cool if we settled on maybe like a book, like a graphic novel, and that we read it and then the audience read it. And then we had like an interactive thing, maybe Ron or whoever, somebody comes on and just an old story. That's a good story. Cause like, for example, what made me think of this is I got my brother into Thor, God of Thunder. Okay. I was talking to him about Gore the God Butcher and Christian Bale being that character. So all of a sudden he was interested in it. So now we're reading about it and we're talking about it. And I thought, oh, that would be like a cool idea to take an old cool storyline, read it, and just like some, like almost like a once a month kind of like, hey, this is the story we're revisiting.
Yes, Carl, like Oprah's
like
book
Oprah's
club.
Book club. Yes, exactly. So, you know, think about it. If you guys have like a book that you're like, oh, I wanted to read that book or whatever, like, you know, we'll do an Oprah's book club like once a month or something. And
yeah. Also, we don't really have any guests line up for the next couple weeks. So at least I don't think we do.
No,
so
I put a call out on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was just so like, who has something that they want to talk about? Who has a project? Are you coloring something? I don't care if it's a coloring book, whatever it is.
Right,
shoot me a message. So
all right, so here's my plan then, because we have some of the best fans ever.
Okay.
Carl and Ron, July 1st, 7 p.m we're gonna have you guys on the show as guest co-hosts, and you can talk about new books, you can talk about what got you into stuff. If you guys are down for it, let us know in the comments. Too bad Ron's not on here right now, because he would be totally losing his mind.
He'll let us know. I got a response from someone. Chris Anderson Comics. Comic books, storyboard artist, writer, singer, songwriter, co-creator of Lost Angels and Dollhouse one-shot horror book. So,
cool.
I don't know. Might have to. Right.
Well, not for July 1st.
No. I'll send him a message.
We're having fan day on July 1st.
Yeah.
We'll call it Fan Fest, and our two longest watching fans, Ron and Carl, are now invited to come on. So
Carl,
you
can come to my house and sit down. We sit right here next to
or
me.
Or we can just send you a Zoom link. It's fine too, and you can be in your own house. That's fine too. If you guys need one, just shoot us an email at ndctodcast@gmail.com and we can send you the link for it. And
so how's FanFest work? How do you want this to work? This is we're gonna have them come on. What do we talk about?
So we're still, you and I are still gonna talk about 4 to 6 books, and they can pitch in, right?
Yep.
And then they can talk about one book each, one or two books each. So it's gonna be a lot of comic talk that week.
Yep.
If they have two each, then, and they're not crossovers with what we already have, then you and I'll just dial down to two. And then we'll find out like what got them into comics, why they're still fans.
Yeah.
You know, if they've ever been to a con and met the coolest creator they've ever met, or you know, what's the coolest thing they ever bought in a shop, or stuff like that. Talking as comic super fans, what is your favorite things to do as super fans in the comic work industry? You know, I think that's kind of a cool take
that
on it.
That would be fun. That would be really
fun. What do you guys think? What do you think, Carl, since you're the only one hanging out?
Ron's going to lose his mind. Carl said we should all read Gambit number one.
Which one? There's like five. This is the problem when people buy back issues and somebody who isn't a comic guy is the guy ringing them out because they type Gambit number one. And then we're like, which Gambit this number one? One?
This is kind of like a, it's a kind of a joke between me and my brother and Carl, Gambit number one. Because it's like, Carl's they're everywhere. There's a million. Cool. All right. I know Carl's, I can tell you just an example of one of Carl's experiences because he does the same thing that I do. We'll go to a con and we're like, oh man, look, it's Henry Lou Winkler. We're going to go say hi to him. And then we just kind of like stand there and we're like, well, I mean, I could see him from here. Like, we just get too nervous to go talk to him. It's like, I don't know. It's the Fonz. Like, I don't. And that is our typical comic. That is our typical con experience with celebrities because I'm too nervous to make an idiot of myself. But this experience doing this in the Facebook Live has shown me that I'm an idiot all the time and I should just embrace it. So
people love idiots, Tim. That's the, they do. If you can be an idiot in real life, people are actually more prone to talk to you. So
he said we creep.
Idiots have more fun.
If we had a YouTube channel, it would be called Con Creeps, and it would just be us outside, excited to go see someone, and then it would just be us like making this face, like looking at him, just like. That would be it, and then it would be like episode over.
Like, and then like the dude that walks up to you goes, "Are you in line?" And you're like, "Nah."
We're just watching. So we're just watching. Con creepers. So
I have two friends from the Du Bois area that go to a lot of cons, and at one point we were going to write a comic about their adventures and call it Spicy in the Bearfield because one we call Spicy and the other one's last name is Bearfield, so we were nice. Spicy in the Bearfield, so the Misadventures of Spicy in the Bearfield actually was the official title of the book. So all right, cool. Well, thanks everybody for watching and hanging out and or watching in post or listening in post on Spotify. We will catch you guys next week. And then the week after that, FanFest
2021.
FanFest. It'll be the first FanFest we've ever had.
Thursday.
Right. So,
yeah, that'll be
all right,
cool.
Guys. All right. Thanks a lot. Continue to shop at your local comic shop. And if that happens to be NDC, bonus points. All right. Talk to you guys later. Thanks a lot.
See you guys.